if you were to have to get up every morning before the sun rises, so that on your drive to work, you got to see the sun rise every morning, I'm sure there would be a few mornings where you'd look at it and you'd probably say, wow, that is just beautiful. But chances are, most of the time as you were driving to work and you'd see that sunrise, your mind would probably be on all the things that you had to do that day, the different tasks that were going to come up, the things you had to do when you got home, what was going on the rest of the week, how busy you were, that you'd probably register, yes, the sun is coming up, but because you've seen its beauty so often, it would be so easy to overlook. I suppose as spouses we might do that. We could very easily forget just how beautiful our spouse is because we see them each and every day, that we begin to overlook it. Not that we wouldn't acknowledge it, but because it's there and we see it so often, it's easy to almost look past it. I suppose that's the danger, right? With seeing something beautiful each and every day, that it's easy to see it, but not have it really register, to not appreciate the beauty that's there. I think we have just such a thing this morning in our gospel lesson. Words that you and I have probably heard thousands of times. They're words that we probably memorized as a child. They're words, or at least the reference we see often at almost every sporting event, right? Someone holding up a card that says John 3:16. They're words that are so familiar. It's easy for us to look past them. It's easy for us to miss the beauty that's in those few short words that God gives us. So this morning, we're going to take a few minutes and marvel at a few words from John's Gospel, words that you know well. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Let's start just right at the beginning there, right? God so loved the world. I suppose if you think about that, it's rather amazing that God would love this world, huh? I mean, ever since Adam and Eve fell into sin, this world has been a sinkhole. Huh? And with each and every passing hour, it only gets worse and worse. You and I, with our pet sins. And we can look around and see millions who would much rather read the sports page than a page in their Bible. And then when God tells us that he wants us to perfectly obey him, to perfectly serve him, there isn't a single one of us who would be able to say that I perfectly loved God, that I perfectly obeyed him, that I perfectly served him with my whole body, mind, strength. We'd hear God pronounce on his own world words of judgment because of that sin. And yet, God so loved the world. And just how much did God love the world? It's amazing. Nicodemus, the person whom Jesus is talking to at this point, came to him under the cover of darkness one night, rather early in Jesus' ministry, to ask Jesus about some of the miracles he had been doing. And very quickly, Jesus moves past the miracles to point out to Nicodemus something that he needed more. God so loved the world that he gave. I think if any of us come across someone who is difficult to love, who for whatever reason has, you know, just it, what they do or what they say seems to stick in our craw, they're the last person on earth that we'd probably want to show love to, huh? Now think of a rebellious world. We'd probably say that's the last person or the last world that God should love, huh? And yet God not only showed his, or said his love, but he also did something. God didn't just love with words by saying, I love the world, but he followed through with actions. God loved the world that he gave. I suppose we hear it from celebrities. Oprah, I think, says, ends of her show, like, I love you. Right? We hear it from televangelists or talk show hosts at the end, you know, I love you. And yet, that love is probably rather hollow, huh? I mean, if they came to town and we went to see them, I don't think we could expect them to express that love by giving us a free meal or paying for our lodging, or for that matter, coming over to our house. In fact, if we stopped watching their show and their ratings took a dive, my guess is that love would evaporate, huh? God loved the world. He didn't just do it with words, but love that he gave. He gave his son. As he looked at this world and its sin, as he looked at you and me and saw our sin, he didn't just shake his head, throw up his hands and give up. Nor did he just say, I love you. But he did something about it. He sent his son. And that son came as a child in Bethlehem. And he crawled out of that manger and crawled up a cross to pay for our sins. And there, on the cross, took the brunt of God's judgment. He took the punishment that our sins deserve. While on the cross, he descended into hell itself to pay the price that our sins had earned for us. He did that for you and for me because God loves us. Jesus loves us. I mean, when you begin to see that love, you can't help but take a step back and marvel at it, huh? That God would so love the world that he would send his one and only son? I mean, if God had blessed you with 10 sons, no, say 20 sons, would you be willing to sacrifice one? Or maybe your best and dearest friend? How about your neighbor, assuming you like your neighbor? Not a chance, right? That we look at and say, we wouldn't do that. And yet, that's how far God went in order to show his love to us. He sent his only son to be the Savior of the world. He sent his only son to be your Savior. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. He loved the world. You and I are part of the world, huh? Which means God loved you and me. That as we look at those words, it's not something where God is just talking to this mindless and nameless group of people. He's speaking to each one of us and says, God loved you so much that he was willing to sacrifice his own son to make you part of his family. God sent his son so that you could be his son and daughter. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him has eternal life. I suppose if we hear one of those offers on TV that's just too good to be true, our parents have pounded it into our heads, right? If it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. As we hear things that just seem to be too good to be true, we're already asking in our mind, right, where's the catch? Right? And if some of them aren't too hard to figure out, right? You say, well, send $50 in and we're going to give you all this free stuff. Well, really, it's not that free. I'm paying $50 for it. Or buy this, right? And all these things in your life will start to turn around. You know, where's the catch? We hear and marvel at this wonderfully great news God gives us, that our sins are forgiven through the work of God's Son. And we can say, well, where's the catch? I mean, I wouldn't love this way with no strings attached. Where are the strings? Well, we might first look and say, well, whoever believes in him, so what I have to do is believe. And yet that's not how God talks about belief. The way the Bible talks about believing in Jesus is how God says, you and I receive what God has already done for us. That believing is receiving that wonderful news and that forgiveness that Jesus has won for us. Believing is being able to receive from our God the promise of a Savior. A Savior who came and forgave our sins. And through that believing has given us that forgiveness. Believing is seeing what our God has done and simply receiving from him. I suppose we could look at those words now and say, well, so he's done that 2,000 years ago? God showed his love 2,000 years ago, but man, he continues to show his love for us. We talked about it this morning as part of the children's message, right? He continues to give his Son in the Word. As we hear that gospel proclaimed and we're able to remember and be reminded of that God loved his world, God loved you and me so much that he was willing to send his one and only Son to save us. God shows his love for us in baptism, right? As God gives Jesus to us and washes away our sin, as Jesus wraps us in the robes of his perfection and adopts us into God's family and puts us on our Heavenly Father's lap and says, look, you are now a child of God. He does it in the sacrament of Christ's body and blood. Whereas he gives us his Son, and God looks at us and sees the Savior who's gave his body and blood in order to free us. He no longer sees what you and I owe, but sees the Savior who paid it all. He no longer sees our sin, but a Savior. As we look at those words that we know so well, we learn from the Lamb about God's love, don't we? We learn from the Lamb that love of God caused him to send his Son to forgive us. And that forgiveness comes to us through faith. Words that are so familiar, it's easy to look past them. Easy, really, to say them and not even really think about all that they tell us. And yet there, in just a single verse, is everything we need to know in order to be saved. God loved the world. God loved you so much that he sent his one and only Son. And that because we believe in him, we have eternal life. Amen.